slightly different point of view than Matthew, Mark, and Luke, who kind of gave the birth and genealogy. He wrote from kind of the salvation, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He was really wrote a lot about love, and he called himself the disciple who Jesus loved. So, and it was written roughly around 90 AD. Some might say a little before, some might say a little after, but it's about there. 90 AD is when it was written. So we're going to be in John on and off today, and we're going to start in John chapter 17 and verse 1. It says, Jesus spoke these words. He lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son. And your Son also may glorify you. And I'm going to skip to verse 8. For I have given to them the words which you have given to me. So Christ gave to his disciples, or he gave to us. A disciple is a learner, a hearer and a learner of the word of God. So if you are learning and hearing the word of God, you are a disciple. For I have given to them the words which you have given me. So Christ has given us his word. And it says in verse 1, he's praying, and he's praying for us. He's praying for you. Do you know that you are prayed for by Jesus? In 1 John 2:1, it says that Jesus Christ, Parakletos, is the advocate. He is the intercessor. He is praying for you. He is praying for us. Verse 9, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be as one as we are one, as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Verse 14, I have given them your word. So we hear the same thing a few times here, that he's praying for us and that he's given us the word of God. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Verse 17, my next slide. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I want to look at that word sanctify for just a second. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Ronnie's offering was like right in line of what I was thinking. I've been praying about this for a few weeks when Pastor asked. The word sanctified in John 17, 17 is hagiazo, H-A-G-I-A-Z-O. If you're a note taker, that's the Greek word. It's a verb. It denotes action. And it means to cleanse externally, to purify by expiation, free from the guilt of sin, and to purify internally by renewing of the soul. So it's kind of talking about two parts, an external and an internal, and it means to set apart for God. So I'm going to make 11 points about the Word of God this morning, hopefully. Hopefully we'll get through 11 points. John 17 17 says that the word of God sanctifies us. This is point number one. The word of God in your life sets you apart. Jesus Christ gave us the word for a purpose. And he uses the word in our lives to sanctify us. I was thinking of a story, and you could kind of, if you have a family and you have kids or grandkids, you can kind of relate to this story, right? Here comes springtime. It's getting warm. Maybe it's that first really warm, warm summer day. So mom, what she do? She pops open the windows and starts spring cleaning. My mom was really big on that. That first warm day, opening up like all the windows of the house and cleaning the whole house, kicking the kids outside to the yard. And the kids go outside and, you know, it's a first warm day. What are they doing? They're looking for mud. They're looking for water. They're looking for anything they can to get out there and play and just have a blast. And that's so true of my kids. And then they're ready to come back inside, and mom just cleaned the house, like top to bottom, in and out, windows open, and they're just covered, you know, hands, face, they're painting on each other. My kids, like, draw pictures on each other with mud. And mom's like, you know, stop, dad's outside, whatever, doing his thing, grilling, mowing the lawn, whatever it is. And, you know, mom's like, no way are you coming in the house. You're covered from head to tail. And the kids are like, what do you mean we're not coming in the house, you know? So what's dad do? What's he do? He grabs the garden hose, of course. Come on, guys, we're going to get squirted, hosed down. And the kids, huh? You know, they think it's the greatest thing. Yeah, let's get hosed down until that freezing cold ice water comes out of that hose at all of 50 degrees. And what happens, right? They're getting washed down by the water before they can go into that clean house, right? God uses his word to sanctify us, to cleanse us internally and externally, to wash us down so that we may glorify him. Slide 2, I was Googling around and I was looking for this funny picture and I saw this picture. Can you believe it? It's a tag of a piece of clothing and it says on the bottom, which is hilarious, size 3 to 4, 100% polyester, wash this shirt inside out. And really, really it says this, remove the child before washing. That's true if you're putting that shirt in a washing machine, but if you're hosing them down in the yard, it's all good, right? But really, really, I found that and I thought it was funny because we have the Word of God, and the Word of God is amazing in our lives, but it's very important that you use the Word of God rightly, correctly, that we divide it the right way. In Matthew, Second Kings is this great story, and it talks about this pot, and I love this story. I use it with the teen ministry often. It's like one of those stories you could use once a year, and you still have so much more for it. So 2 Kings chapter 4, starting in verse 38. And Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. Now the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said to his servant, "Put on the large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets." So one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered from it a lapful of wild gourds and sliced them into the pot of stew, though they did not know what they were. There's a problem right there, right? They didn't know what the gourds were, but they decided, we're making stew, let's throw them in anyway. Then they served it to the men to eat. Now it happened as they were eating the stew that they cried out and they said, "Man of God, there is death in the pot." And they could not eat it. So you can kind of think of that. Let's go to our next slide. We have this big pot of stew. We're all hungry. And the stew is on the fire. And there's lots of men around. And everyone wants to eat. And they're making a big pot of stew. And they're really hungry. And then they go to eat the stew, and something is funny about the stew, and a guy cries out, "There's death in the pot." So instantly you think, well, we can't eat this. We're hungry, and we can't eat it. And it goes on in verse 41. So he said, and this is King James. I'm going to read New King James, and then I'm going to read King James. And he said, then bring some flour, and he put it into the pot, and he said, serve it to the people that they may eat it. And there was nothing harmful in the pot. Pastor Schaller preached on this years ago, probably when I was in Bible college, so probably 2000, 2002. And the King James says, but he said, then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot, and he said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. In 2 Kings 4:41, the word of God is like the meal. And the pot is like our mind, he said. And he said, what we need to do, sometimes the world tries to poison our mind. It puts things in there, you know, mass media and the wrong kind of movies and the wrong kind of music or whatever it is. It's like going in our ear gate and it's trying to poison our mind. And Pastor Schaller brought out the word of God can heal somebody's mind. If you add the word of God, he says, then bring meal, and he cast it into the pot. That pot could be like symbolic, like our mind, and that meal could be symbolic, like the word of God. And those wild gourds could be all sorts of stuff that the world puts in the atmosphere that is trying to pollute our head, pollute our mind, and God says, add the word of God to it. Yes, try to avoid it, but if it happens, when it happens, wash that away. Add the meal to the pot. So point one, the word of God sanctifies. Point two, the word of God heals. I'm not going to turn there for time's sake, but Matthew 4:4, we know this. It's on the back of our teen hoodies. It says, we wrote, now I'm thinking, I got a blank, right? Matthew 4:4, I better turn there so I get exactly. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So the word of God also rebukes, right? When the devil was tempting Jesus, what Jesus did was he quoted scripture. When he quoted that, he was quoting from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy. And it's Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, where it says, it is written. On the back of our hoodies, it says, the Bible, don't just read it, eat it. So point number three can be the word of God rebukes the devil. And we've heard it said many, many times, when the devil reminds you of your past, remind the devil of his future, that he will be cast, he will be bound, and he'll be put in hell. That's what we want to do. We want to use the word of God to rebuke the devil, and we want to use the word of God to sanctify ourselves and heal ourselves and set ourselves apart from the world. Point number four, we're going to turn to Psalm 119, and we're going to look at a few verses here. Psalm 119:9, our next slide, says, how can a young man cleanse his way? And it answers its own question within the verse. How can a young man, how can a young woman, how can a young person, how can any one of us cleanse our way? And the answer, simply, is by taking heed according to your word. So point four is we're cleansed by the word of God. The word of God cleanses us. When the world wants to put all of the garbage and the junk that it has to offer into the atmosphere, grab a hold of your Bible and open it up and say, God, what do you have to say about this matter? What is your answer regarding this question? And he says, you know what? Take heed to the word. Take heed to the word, and you will be cleansed. And it goes on, verse 10, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Recently, they played an old Dr. Stevens on Grace Hour. Sometimes they use the first half and they bring a little insert of what he was saying. And he brought out verse 25 here in Psalm 119. And this can be another point for us. It says, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Like our old sin nature, our man, we tend to, in our natural, go back to our old ways. Go back to who we are in the flesh. But here he says, revive me according to your word. So point five is the word of God can revive me. I can wake up and I can feel horrible in the morning. I can feel like, oh man, I'm just clinging to the dust. I'm clinging to my past. I'm clinging to the things of the world. And then I grab a hold of the Bible and I open it up and I read something like Matthew 4:4 and the Satan being, the devil being rebuked by Jesus over and over and over. It is written. It is written. It is written. And my own soul is trying to cleave to the dust. And I'm reading the word of God and all of a sudden I'm revived. I'm revived by the word of God. The word of God revives us. Revived. Mark 4:24, and I'm not going to turn there, just talks about us being careful what we hear. And that's talking about it in two ways, right? You can kind of flip that verse. One, we want to hear the right kind of stuff. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing how? By the word of God. So we increase our faith by going to church, by hearing the word of God. We grow in who we are in Christ by hearing the word of God. The flip side of that is it can really hurt us if there's gossip and rumors out there and we go join in and we take part in that and we let that get into our mind and start playing with our thought process. That can have an ill effect on us. So we have to be careful, Mark 4:24. Be careful of what you hear, what you listen to. Be careful of rumor and gossip. So we're going to turn now to Hebrews 4:12. And this is point 6, 7, and 8. Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 12. And this is another one. If you have King James and New King James, you're going to have one or two words that are slightly different. For the word of God, Hebrews 4:12, is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So that in a grand, awesome way, that's saying God knows what's going on. In your heart, in your mind, God cares for you. Jesus is praying for you. He loves you. He knows. When you think you may be hiding something from God, He knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. If you read this in the King James, it doesn't say living, but the actual word in the Greek gives you the word living. That is what he is saying here. So we can say Hebrews 4:12, point number six, the word of God is living and powerful. Point number seven, we can say it is sharp and piercing and it divides. Point number eight, we can say it discerns. The word of God, it's living and powerful in your life. It has a purpose. Chris DePisa prayed it right at the end. It was perfect. It has a purpose. It goes out, and God has a purpose for his word of God, and it accomplishes the purpose that he sets out to do. So six, it's living and powerful. Seven, it's sharp, piercing, and it divides. And point eight, it discerns. The word of God discerns. So I have two quotes for you. The first one, next slide, is David Jeremiah recently did a devotional, and he was basing it on something Martin Luther said, which will be the next slide. So David Jeremiah said this. He said, no one is the same after an encounter with God. His living word changes everything, Pastor David Jeremiah. And he was explaining in the devotional two points that Paul on the road to Damascus, when he encountered Jesus, if you don't know the story of Paul, Paul was Saul, right? Paul was before he had this encounter with Jesus, he was the one that people would lay their cloaks at his feet and they would stone Christians. They would drag him out of their houses. He was a Christian killer before his encounter with Jesus. The other person, similar story, is Martin Luther. Late 1400s, birth into the 1500s, Reformation. And he said this, his quote, also from David Jeremiah's devotional, "The Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold of me." The Word of God, it's living and it's powerful. And it speaks to the hearts and the minds of men. It grabs a hold of those things that this world cannot grab a hold of. And it shapes us and forms us and changes us and makes us totally new and different. The Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold of me. And while I was studying, I had this thought that the Word of God has been saving souls for thousands and thousands of years. Genesis 15:6, Abraham said his faith made him righteous. Thousands and thousands of years ago, Genesis 15:6. The Word of God has been changing lives for thousands and thousands of years. The Word of God is impacting and loving people then, now, and it's going to continue in the future. The Word of God is making a difference every day. Every day, the Word of God makes a difference. We're going to go back to John, and we're going to go to chapter 8. John chapter 8. I'm going to quote two verses in Ephesians very quickly while we turn there, because John 8, we're going to start in 31. Ephesians 4:15 says, "Speak the truth in love." Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which edifies." I want to encourage you, be careful how you use the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful, and we're not to use it to bash people. And we're not to use it to be negative, but Ephesians says to speak the truth in love. Yes, we can bring correction into a brother or a sister, but we need to do it with love. We need to do it with the right heart and the right mind and not bring in any corruption into the person, but bring in healing. The Word of God heals. It sanctifies. It rebukes the devil. It cleanses us. It revives us. The Word of God is living. It's powerful. It's sharp. It's piercing. It divides, and it's a discerner. Divides in a good way, meaning the old sin nature from who we are in the spiritual man. In John 8, starting in verse 31, "The truth shall make you free." Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Verse 34, Jesus answers them and he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. This world wants to set us in bondage to the things it has. This world wants to get us to stumble. The devil wants to get us to trip. He wants us to become a slave to sin and the ways of the world system. But Jesus comes into our life and he speaks into our lives truth. He speaks the Word of God. And he says, you will be free by the truth. So point number 9, the word of God, it makes you free. The sin of this world wants to encapsulate you like a slave. It wants to put you in bondage. It wants to make you think of your past over and over and over and over. But the word of God, Christ, the truth, wants to come into your life, and it wants to set you free. And yes, we have struggles, and struggles are real. We have ministries for that. Pastor Chris Rice runs Celebrate Recovery. Hurts, helps, and hang-ups. Pastor Chris Halloran, what'd I say? Oh, man. Pastor Chris Halloran. Too many Chris's. Sorry. But the word of God, point 9, wants to set you free. We have freedom in the word of God. All right, I'm going to burn through 2 or 3 quick because I'm looking at the clock and it's Communion Sunday. So Romans 12, 1 or 2 says we're transformed. The word is metamorpho. You think of a butterfly. You have an egg. The egg becomes a caterpillar. The caterpillar eats the leaves, goes into the cocoon. While in the cocoon, he forms into an amazing, awesome butterfly. This is kind of like us with the word of God. When you let the word of God come into your life, it makes you a new creation, and you are transformed from your old man to a new man in Christ. So point 10 could be that we are transformed. And you know one point that I've heard, a story I've heard before, is when the butterfly is struggling, and I went on YouTube and I watched a couple of these time-lapse videos. While the butterfly, the caterpillar is forming and the butterfly is struggling on the way out, that struggle actually gives the butterfly's wings the strength to fly away. So there was a story about a little boy who wanted to run in and get the scissors, and he wanted to run out, and he was seeing the struggle of the butterfly, and he was thinking, I'm going to cut that cocoon, and I'm going to help that butterfly to fly away. And the story is, he cuts it, and the butterfly does not have the strength to fly. Sometimes we struggle in life, but it is so you can soar with God. That is why God allows things in our life to happen, so that we can soar with him. So point 10, Romans 12, 2, is we are transformed. Ephesians 5, I was going to read this, talking of the husbands and the wives and the whole thing, and I'm going to go to one verse quick. And it says in verse 25, I'll start. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. So you can actually take the application of what we're saying today and apply it into your family as a unit. Go home and read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, and read all the way to verse 30, and take the word of God and apply it in your family and watch the impact and the outcome it will have. He says here in 26 that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. That's applicable as in Christ to us as the church, but it's applicable in our family units. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And 1:14 says, the Word became flesh, that's the person of Jesus Christ, and dwelt among us. The Word of God dwelt among us in the form of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ gave us the Word of God. So I'm going to hit my points really quick. So 1 is the word of God sanctifies. 2 is the word of God heals. 3 is the word of God rebukes. 4 is the word of God cleanses. 5, it revives. 6, 7, 8, it's living, powerful, sharp, piercing, discerns. 9, it makes us free. 10, it transforms us. And 11 here in Ephesians 5:26, it washes us. So it's a lot to take in, and it's a lot of great words, but I want to end with this two quick thoughts. The next slide, 1 Thessalonians 5:24. And I remember Pastor Shibeli doing a whole message on this verse at convention one year. And in the King James, it reads, "Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it." And take it to heart that Jesus Christ loves you. He has a plan for you. And here's 3 points to think on with this verse. God is faithful. God has called you, and God will do it in your life. He's begun a good work, and he will continue to do that good work in your life, and he will do an amazing thing through you with the word of God. The word of God is powerful. John, Sarah, we can go to the last closing slide, and we're going to go back to the very first verse, John 17:17. Sanctify them, set them apart, cleanse them, wash them, revive them, renew them, heal them, sanctify them by your truth. Your word, the person of Christ, is truth. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for what you have for us. Thank you that your word is living, that your word speaks to us. As Martin Luther said, Father, the Bible's alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold of me. Jesus Christ loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to grab a hold of you with the word of God. He wants to wash away your past and make you new. And he wants you to soar into the future. He has a plan. Our eyes closed, our heads bowed. Something may be on your mind. It may be bothering you. I want to give you a moment. Just give it to Jesus. Whatever it may be, offer up whatever is on your heart, your husband, your wife, unsaved family members, backslidden, or something maybe hitting home and personal in your life. Give it to him, because the word of God will cleanse you and wash you and make you new and fresh again. And if you never accepted Jesus into your life before and you want to, it's a simple prayer of faith, acknowledging Christ. If you want to be a child of God and you're not, just ask him. A simple prayer of faith, something like this between you and him. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. I want to be your child. Come into my life and live. Jesus, I want to be your child. Come into my life and live. If you're praying that for the first time, can you just let me know so I can encourage you, so I can give you a Bible? If you're listening on the web or the internet, reach out to us so we can reach back. Father, we praise you. We thank you. Prepare our hearts and minds now for communion. In Jesus' name, amen.